So this is obviously my first message for 2017. What you can expect in 2017. And I've got just a confession to make. I've really found it really hard to switch my brain back on again after Christmas. Some of you perhaps think it's not really been switched on that much throughout 2016. I don't know. But, you know, you go away, we went away with the family, and this week's been a challenge just to get my brain working again. Who finds it hard to get your brain going again after you've had a bit of a holiday? Who's never had their brain working? Yeah. So today I just want to simply talk about some of the things you can expect in 2017. So what can you expect in 2017? Number one, firstly, you can expect God to be faithful to you in 2017. God is the faithful God. God's been faithful to you in the past, and He's going to be faithful to you in the future. God will be faithful to you throughout 2017 in the ups and downs of this year. Next, you can expect God to listen and answer prayer in 2017. God still answers prayer. You can expect the promises of God to be available to you in 2017. Some of you really want to shout out hallelujah, don't you? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Praise God. You can expect God's word to still work in 2017. God's word has not become redundant. It's still relevant in 2017, and God's word will still work in 2017. You can expect times of refreshing by God the Holy Spirit in 2017. You can expect God encounters and God moments in 2017. You can expect breakthrough in 2017. See, a lot of you have been praying for things, for people who are important to you. This is the year of the breakthrough. You can expect the joy of the Lord to be your strength in 2017. So, they're just some of the things you can expect from God. They're reasonable and they're wonderful expectations for people who follow Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. God was able in 2016 and He's able in... That's what you can expect from God in 2017. Man, you're going to have a good year. You're going to have a good year. What else can you expect in 2017? And I'll finish that off next Sunday. What else can you expect in 2017? Well, Jesus said very clearly in John chapter 16, verse 33, He said, "Here on earth you will have some troubles," or some trials. Yeah, use the word many. "Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows." And the psalmist even said in Psalm 34, verse 19, "A righteous person faces many troubles." This is really encouraging. Therefore, according to the Bible, you can expect many troubles in 2017. Righteous people have troubles. You've got a lot of troubles. It may be just because you're righteous this morning. If you're hoping that 2017 will be a perfect, trouble-free year, get ready to be severely disappointed very soon. It won't take long for someone or something to irritate you, get you upset, and it won't take long for you to let yourself and God down. We know that 2017 will have times of difficulty for every single one of us in this room. We will have trials. We will have sorrows like we have most years. And in this world, that's actually normal. There will be battles that you'll have to fight in 2017. And it's the same for me. I've got to fight some battles this year. I don't know what they are. Some I do. But there's going to be unexpected battles that I will face, undoubtedly. There will be Goliaths for us all to conquer this year, because it's just part of living in this fallen world. 1 John 5 verse 19 says this, "We know that we are children of God. Thank God that we're children of God. Amen. I'll say it again. We know that we are children of God, but we also know that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. Absolutely. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, there is so much violence in the world. That is why there is so much trouble in the world today. The evil one rules the hearts of many people. Don't blame God for what is evil in the world. It is the devil who is responsible. Sin is responsible. Amen? Therefore, by the way, this message will get good again in a few moments, all right? Don't want anybody going home depressed. Don't leave halfway through the sermon, okay? But you can expect, therefore, in view of those comments, you can expect that the enemy is going to have a go at you in 2017. You know, he only has goes at people that bother him. You know that? If the devil doesn't have a go at you through 2017, what is the matter with your life? You know, the devil's not gone away. He's real. He's not a figment of people's imagination. He's a real creature. He will have another shot at you, and he will try and turn you away from Almighty God. So in view of that, be ready. Resist him, and then the devil will flee from you. You can expect in 2017 to have issues with some other people. You might have issues with me. I hope not. But you might. Because like you, other people are flawed as well. I'm flawed. We all say and do dumb things. I say and do dumb things. Rochelle particularly. The person next to you says and does dumb things. We do, don't we? You know, when we just do. We just do. So, because we do, we experience conflict. And, you know, let's not get upset over that. You know, it's not the end of the world if you have some conflict. We experience conflict and we get upset with each other from time to time. And that's why, you know, forgiveness is so important. To make space for people to realize they've said something dumb, you know. Forgiveness is important and love is so important that we implement these things in our relationships. What else can you expect? You can expect temptation in 2017. Why? It's because you are still managing your sinful nature, the whole lot of you. Me too. You're still managing your sinful nature where some bad things still appeal to you, if you dare to admit it. Of course they do. For example, we all like a little bit of gossip. And we'll leave it just there. Amen? But you're going to experience temptation. So we've got to be on guard against temptation, and we've just got to keep our boundaries in place. Boundaries are very important. We're flawed people. We need boundaries. You can expect random problems in 2017. Just random problems. Oh, never saw that coming. And the reason for that, one of the reasons, is because the world is groaning. The whole of creation is groaning as it heads towards the return of Jesus Christ. So, for example, random. A cyclone hits Perth. It could happen. A number of years ago, we had one that missed Perth and came across Busselton. Remember that? A random cyclone hits Perth. It's random. And the winds will still blow on your home, even if you're a Christian, and it will have the potential to cause damage to your house. And that's a problem. That's out of your control. It's random. And maybe something you never anticipated. There'll be those kind of things in 2017. So Christians and non-Christians are not immune from trouble. I'm not immune from trouble. I have trouble just like you. We're not immune from discomfort and problems. Jesus never taught or suggested that, and I've never preached that, because it rains on the just and the unjust alike. In addition, sometimes, while I labor this point, blessings and burdens can reflect actually two sides of the same situation. Blessing and problems, blessings and burdens, sometimes they go hand in hand together. So when you're praying for a blessing, first check out the burden that comes with that blessing. For example, the day I got married. The day I got married was an exciting day, to say the least. And you know, you've heard me preach a lot, and please forgive me if I just say this, but if I've told you before, but I could just remember the day where we got married. It was in a church, and I can remember Rochelle came round the back to come down the aisle, and she stepped into the aisle, and our eyes met. I married my sweetheart. And Michelle was a blessing from God. Is a blessing from God. Because, for lots of reasons, but one of them is that we complemented each other so well, and even today we still do. Oftentimes we're thinking the same, and maybe that's the same with you in your marriage. And I was fortunate to marry my best friend. Michelle was my best friend, is my best friend. And today's our wedding anniversary. However, 8th of January 1983, 34 years of marriage, and it just gets better and better and better. And Michelle thinks I get handsomer and handsomer and handsomer. Actually, she said that in my dreams. So we got married, and it's a blessing. It is. But I soon discovered the burden of having to share everything with Michelle. I was blessed to be married, but now I have to share. I was a single man. Now I've got to share everything with this lady. I discovered the burden of having to do my own ironing, which included this shirt that I'm wearing today. I discovered the burden of having to watch emotional chick flicks that I pretended to enjoy. Are there any other men here who know exactly what I'm talking about? Yeah. Blessing burden. But thank God the blessings far outweigh the burden. A promotion at work is a blessing, especially when accompanied by a pay rise. We could all do with some extra cash. But it's a burden when the promotion means you have to manage extra staff. Access to the internet is a useful blessing, and we complain when the internet is slow. However, the internet carries with it the burden of temptation, from looking at pornography through to wasting hours on social media. That's why accountability software is so important to protect you. So like every previous year, 2017 will be a mixture of blessings and burdens, trials and sorrows. And of course, there will be battles in 2017. But thank God, that's not the end of the story, amen? You could still have a really good year. And I'm going to have a great year. You're going to have a great year. You can still have a very good year because although the psalmist said a righteous person faces many troubles, he actually also said this, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. When we quote the word of God, let's quote the whole passage, amen. A righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. A person who's not following the Lord has many troubles, and there's nobody to rescue them. While it's true that Jesus said, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, actually the full verse said this, John 16 verse 33, Jesus said, I've told you all this so you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. Don't worry about it. Take heart. Take some encouragement, Jesus says, because I have overcome the world. Amen. Come on, that's a great place to put our hands together. Praise the Lord. Praise God. But look at that statement. It's a great statement on your TV screens there. It's a great statement. Obviously, it's a great statement. And it's a great statement of encouragement as we begin 2017. But if you look at that statement closely, the statement of Jesus, you've got to admit, it does raise some questions. It actually raises a big question. And this is it. I'll rephrase this question differently several times, but so we get the question. Jesus was on the earth 2,000 years ago, wasn't he? And just because Jesus was able to overcome the world 2,000 years ago for himself and even rise from the dead, why should I not still worry and fret today over the trials and sorrows that come my way? Because some of my trials are very, very intimidating and they're actually worthy of worry. In other words, this is the question. In other words, what has Jesus' victory got to do with my many troubles? It's great he had a victory, but what has it got to do practically in 2017 with my troubles? Just because Jesus overcame the troubles that came his way and that was good for him, How does that affect my life, my troubles, all these years later in 2017? You know, he says, you know, you're going to have trials and sorrows, but don't worry because I've overcome the world. How do we connect the dots? It's a great question. Everybody understand the question I'm just asking? Okay, let's answer it. There are actually two very important actions or sacraments that we do as Christians that have a lot to do actually with answering that big question, making sense of it. The first sacrament is that what Christians do is that they get baptized in water. Now, we're going to baptize people at Coogee Beach on Sunday the 29th of January at 4 p.m. And that's what we call a sacrament. It's an action representing something spiritual. And this simple action is a reflection of our heart's desire to be identified with Jesus Christ. For those of you who like a little bit of theology, a lot of people get confused over why Jesus was baptized. Jesus was baptized because he was identifying with us. We get baptized because we're identifying with Jesus. Everybody understand that? Very important. And so we're saying that we're dying to our own life and now we're living in the new life that Jesus has given to us. The second sacrament is very, very important and we're going to do it in a few moments. It's communion. And everybody's invited to participate in the communion. We eat the bread and we drink the wine and we're remembering Jesus and how he died on the cross for our sins. We understand that. But in addition, by eating the bread and drinking the wine, we're once again saying that we identify with Jesus Christ. We are in him and he is in us. We are in him and he is in us. And this sense of identifying with Jesus Christ is so strong and literal in the Bible that the Bible says our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus declared, because we've identified with him, I will never leave you or forsake you. And he said, remain in me and I will remain in you. And Romans 8 verse 17 says, we are joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. Everybody good with this? Therefore, this sense of identifying with Jesus means that whatever belongs to Jesus now belongs to us. Whatever belongs to Jesus now belongs to us. The full riches of Christ belong to us. We are inheritors of heaven and eternity. That's a profound thought. And Jesus is very, very rich. And since victory over trouble belongs to Jesus, then victory over trouble belongs to us. Since victory over trouble belongs to Jesus, then victory over trouble belongs to us. Romans 8 verse 37 echoes this truth and declares, despite all these things, he's referring to troubles, despite all these troubles, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Therefore, that's why we could take heart and have peace and not fret or worry, no matter what trouble comes our way in 2017. Because we know that we carry the victory of Christ in any and every situation that comes our way this year. There will be battles, but when the battle is finished, we will still be standing strong. We will, this year, go from strength to strength. Because we'll be able to say with the psalmist, because we identify with Christ, I can run through a troop, I can leap over a wall, my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Man, is that just washing over you right now in Jesus' name? Watch out, trouble. Bring it on. Because of Jesus, that makes us to be more than conquerors in all of life's scenarios. Therefore, it's worth just pausing just for a moment to consider who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for us. And a lot of Christian people, maybe you might be one of these people, mistakenly think that the New Testament is the only part of the Bible that tells us everything we need to know about Jesus Christ. But the truth is, Jesus Christ can be seen in every book of the Bible. In fact, Jesus Christ is a theme of the entire Bible, and Jesus Christ is pictured and prophesied about in every book of the Bible. And it's this Jesus Christ that the Bible reveals, that we identify with, that enables us to become, enables us to overcome the world in 2017. In the book of Genesis, Jesus is our creator and he's our promised redeemer. In Exodus, he's a Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is our high priest. In Numbers, he is a pillar of fire by day. He's a pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he becomes a curse for us. In Joshua, Jesus Christ is the commander and the army of the Lord. In Judges, he is our judge and our lawgiver. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he is our reigning king. I'm talking about Jesus. In Ezra, he is a priest proclaiming freedom. In Nehemiah, he is the one who restores broken lives. In Esther, he is our Mordecai, the protector of God's people. In Job, he is our ever-living redeemer. I know my redeemer lives. In Psalms, he is our song in the morning and our song in the night. In Proverbs, he's our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he's our meaningful life. In the Song of Solomon, he's a loving bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace and our suffering servant. In Jeremiah, he's a righteous branch. In Lamentations, he's our weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the Son of Man. In Daniel, he is a fourth man in life's fiery furnace. In Hosea, he's a faithful husband, forever married to the backslider. In Joel, he is our baptizer with the Holy Spirit and fire. In Amos, he delivers justice to the oppressed. In Obadiah, he is a judge of those who do evil. In Jonah, he is a great foreign missionary. Amen. Amen. In Micah, he casts our sin into the sea of forgetfulness. In Nahum, he is the avenger of God's people. In Habakkuk, he is a God's evangelist crying, revive thy work in the midst of thy years. In Zephaniah, he's a mighty savior. In Haggai, he is a restorer of our worship. In Zechariah, he's a coming Messiah who is pierced for us. In Malachi, he's a son of righteousness who brings healing. In Matthew, he's a king of the Jews. In Mark, he's a servant. In Luke, he's a man feeling what you feel. In John, he's a son of God and the Lamb of God. In Acts, he's a savior of the world. In Romans, he is the righteousness of God. In 1 Corinthians, he is the bread and the wine. In 2 Corinthians, he is a triumphant one giving victory. In Galatians, he is your liberty. He sets you free. In Ephesians, he is the head of the church. In Philippians, he is our joy. In Colossians, he's your completeness. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he's our hope and our comfort in the last days. In 1 Timothy, he's your faith. In 2 Timothy, he's your stability. In Titus, he is the foundation of truth. In Philemon, he's our mediator. In Hebrews, he is our high priest. I've got to swallow. In James, he is the wisdom from above. In 1 Peter, he's your example. In 2 Peter, he is your purity. In 1 John, he is love. In 2 John, he is God in the flesh. In 3 John, he is the truth. In Jude, he is the one coming again with countless thousands of angels. And in Revelations, Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. This is Jesus. Praise the Lord. And whatever belongs to Jesus, whatever Jesus has achieved, he did for. So yeah, the world's in a mess. It's full of trouble. But in 2017, you can expect victory in every situation. You're not going to go under this year. Come on, you're not going to go under. Who cares what's happening with the banks or whatever? Who cares who wins the elections? Who cares who's the president of the United States of America? Who cares what they're inventing? I don't care. We're not going under. You're not going to drown. You're going to come through. You're not going to be destroyed. You're going to overcome. So take heart, for Jesus has overcome the world. Come on, come on, come on. You're going to have a good year. Come on. So we know what we can expect from Jesus. I mean, we know that God is faithful, and we know what we can expect from the world. But in conclusion, don't you love it when a preacher says that? In conclusion, you think, praise God, he's about to wrap this up. Amen. I know what you're thinking. In conclusion, as we step into 2017, it's important then to ask the final question about what to expect. What can God expect from you in 2017? What can 2017 expect from you? We know what we can expect from God. We know what we can expect from the world. But what can God expect from you? I'm just going to pause for a moment as you ponder that question. It wasn't rhetorical. I want you to really think about it. Oh, wow, I never thought about that. Well, if you've got no idea what we can expect from you, don't worry, you've come to church today, and I can tell you what the Lord wants to expect from you, okay? The Bible has a strong suggestion for you. Micah 6:8 says this. The Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you in 2017. To do what is right. Some of your versions say to do justly. To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen. To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Therefore, can God expect you to do what is right in 2017? No matter what other people are doing. We're not of this world, ladies and gentlemen. Doesn't matter what's popular, how people are behaving. No matter what other people are doing and saying, will you do what is right? At work, in your marriage, will you do what's right? Will you keep your integrity before God throughout 2017? Don't lose your integrity. Do the right thing in your marriage, at work, in the community. Will you stand up for justice and for what is fair in 2017? Can God expect you to love mercy in 2017? Will you be generous in showing mercy to the people in your world? The world needs mercy. People of mercy. We show mercy to your wife and to your husband, to your work colleagues, to your neighbors and other acquaintances. Will you be quick to forgive? Will you refuse to take offense in 2017? Will you show mercy? Because that's what mercy is all about. Loving other people. Can 2017 expect this from you? Finally, can God expect you to walk humbly with him in 2017? Will you put God on the throne of your heart instead of your own worldly desires? Hey, come on, we've all got worldly desires. I've got plenty of them myself. And it's always a decision. You know, if you want to have a lousy 2017, keep the worldly desires on the throne of your heart. If you want to have a good 2017, put God on the throne of your heart. Will you include Jesus Christ in all of life's decisions in 2017? Because this world desperately needs people like us to reflect Jesus by doing what is right, loving mercy, and walking humbly with our God. So we know what we can expect from God in 2017. We know what we can expect from the world. And now we know what God expects from us.